following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
It's not just the skill, it's the anointing, you know, the touch of God on a life that is surrendered to Him. And it's just as true for you. If you say, God, I'll give you what's left of my life, you might look at what's left of your life and think there's not much really left that He can make anything out of. But like I've said so many times, He makes glorious things out of garbage. I really believe that Jesus is the consummate dumpster diver. He goes into the trash heaps of life and He picks out busted glass and broken people and wasted lives. And He says, you won't believe what I'm going to do with that. And He turns it into a masterpiece. And every parent makes plans when the first little bambino arrives that, oh, I'm going to do this perfectly. And you throw the textbook away a week and a half later. And you vow that no one will ever hurt my child. Nothing is going to go wrong. And they're going to just walk from glory to glory to glory to glory and never have a moment where they question who they are or what they're good for. But every one of them, every one of us goes through that. Shannon said that she was on the way back, or she came back to a COVID country, and so did I. I think, Shannon, weren't we kind of overlapping each other in Israel for a day or two? Yeah, 2 days. And they were so far ahead, we didn't get to see each other, but we almost didn't make it in. We thought we wouldn't make it in, but we went to the airport anyway, and we made it in, and they did not turn us around when we got there. And we kept looking over our shoulder, thinking they're going to come after us because they're sending people home, but they didn't. And we were hiking out in the hills instead of a whole lot of time in the main sites, and it was the hiking tour. And then halfway through, and many of you know this story, they took us to Jerusalem when they really, probably by the rules, they should have taken us to Tel Aviv airport, Ben-Gurion airport, and said, you're going home, but they didn't. They took us to Jerusalem, and they took away our bus, and they took away our guide, and they took away our bus driver. And so they gave us the gift of five days and four nights in the old city of Jerusalem without a guide. And I'd been there enough that I knew what kind of a trip I wanted to guide our group through. And it was wonderful. It was just a really, really, really wonderful time together. But I got back and I had to get quarantined as well. It wasn't like an intense quarantine. I just had to sleep in the other room. That was it. And I couldn't kiss my wife for a few days. That was the hardest part. But I looked up on my phone tonight while Shannon was sharing, and I realized, man, I don't have to get up and say anything. She kind of covered the bases. And but I looked at the pictures that I had sent from Jerusalem, and first one was a picture of the Jerusalem Post, and it said, gatherings limited to 100 people as coronavirus cases climb to 97. And that was on, I don't know what date that was. So March 11th, I think it was. And then, oops, the next one, beyond that one, was it was one of those pictures I put together of Joy's name. It's kind of easy to find a J, you know, in a bent twig, and a Y is really easy to find. And if you can't find an O in nature, you're not paying attention. So Joy's name is really easy to find. And I take pictures of those letters and put them together and send it to her. So that's between her and me. Anyway, COVID-19, and this is one that I put up while we were in Jerusalem. COVID-19, there may be no NCAA basketball. How many of you are still grieving over that? Disappointing for anybody? No NCAA basketball, but there is still definitely March Madness. And there was. We were going crazy in March. Pray for peace, stand in hope, and walk in love. And then this one, I put up a picture of some of the beautiful stone walls of the old city of Jerusalem. And I said this, it looks like it's time for the church to be the church beyond the walls. And that's where Jesus always wanted us to be. We weren't designed to be cloistered. We weren't designed to be quarantined inside of our buildings. We were meant to be turned loose upon a world. because the world is so full of hurting, broken people that are desperate for what only Jesus can deliver. And I want you to turn to Psalm 40 because I want to read a little bit of it with you. But the last photo that I found in that stream from the COVID season was a picture of the beautiful dusty hills of Judea. And the caption on it says, "Your prayer got through." Psalm 40, verse 1. And I wasn't planning to see that right before I had you turn to Psalm 40, verse 1. It's where I was this morning as on my walk and reading through the Psalms. And so I just want to read through Psalm 40 with you quickly and then go back to one particular part of it. So if you've got it either on your phone or on your in your hands in your Bible, follow along with me. It's a prayer of David, a song of David. It says to the choir master. The choir master was our equivalent of the worship leader. But he says this, David, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction." I prefer the New King James. It says a horrible pit. How many of you would say Jesus found you in a horrible pit? "He pulled me up. He drew me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth." How many of you would say, yeah, Jesus has given me something to sing about. He's given me something to sing about. Let me see the hands. The hands of the singers. "He's put a new song in my mouth." And here's what it is, a song of praise to our God. "And many will see and fear." Many will see it. Many will fear and put their trust in the Lord. I wrote the question in the margin of my Bible here. It says, how do you see a song? Song is something that you hear. And I'm going to get back to that. I told Michaela and Mariah Rains that I would explain that to them tonight. They were here helping out with the event for the first responders. Hey, let's hear it for the first responders. They're still responding. Where would we be without those men and women in different colored uniforms, whether it's the police, the sheriff, the CHP, the fire, the EMT? So they were here helping with that, and we had a little bit of chat about that. But then it goes on to say, I'm going to get back to the song part. "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie." That's a blessed person. It doesn't follow lies, but follows the truth. "You've multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them." What? Tell of the deeds, the wonderful things that you've done for us. "Yet they are more than can be told." I love that about David. He said, "I'm going to tell all of them, but there's so many of them. So many things you've done." I want to challenge you with this. No show of hands on this, but I wonder how many of us have told anybody this week even a little story about one of the wonderful works of God that he's done for you. Yours are also too many to be numbered, but they're not meant to be kept. They're meant to be shared. They're meant to be spread around. So tell people what God's done in your life. Tell them what he's doing right now. Don't hold it in. Don't just write it in your journal. One of the things I love about Shannon, she gets a thought and you're going to hear it. She has a thought in her mind. She's going to share it with somebody. All that, you know, chatter after the song and, oh, where was your... Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But I love that about her. She is a person with a voice and she's not afraid to use her voice. When she was growing up, it was, "Shannon, find your indoor voice." And she wasn't born with an indoor voice. So if you ever hear her with one, she's working on that. Anyway, too many wonderful works of God to be told, to be numbered. Then it says in verse 6, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." I think it's accurate, and we won't go into this deeply. I think it's accurate that Psalm 40 and Psalm 41 have a really strong messianic message. And this is quoted in verses 6, 7, and 8. It's quoted in the New Testament, speaking of Jesus. There was something that was prepared for him. Behold, Jesus, I come in the volume of the book that it's written of me, and I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is written in my heart. That was certainly true of Christ. But when David wrote this psalm, he wasn't thinking, I need to write a messianic psalm. He's writing his heart. He says, I'm going to come in the volume of the book. I know you have a design on my life, and I'm going to give my life to you so I can live that design. So he says, I just love to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. Now look at verse 9 down through 10. I have told the glad news. Circle the word told. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. And behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden, circle the word hidden. I've not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed, there it is again. I haven't held it to myself. I haven't hidden it. I've told it. I've told of your steadfast love and your strong faithfulness from the great congregation. David was probably another one of those people that didn't have much of an indoor voice. He sure had a heart to tell everyone he could about the good things that God had done in him. And that's the reason we've done Resonance all summer long. That's the reason we do anything of an outreach. That's the reason we open our Bibles when we're inside that building or in the courtyard or over on the lawn. It's the reason we will gather in the amphitheater that I'm hoping we can build that will just fill up this whole corner of grass, and there'll be grass and trees, and we'll meet out here as long as we can. We'll see what the Lord does. If he lets us do that and the city lets us do it, maybe we should just do it because it's easier to get forgiven than permission. No, we've got to do it the right way, and we will. But the whole thing is for us to be a people that are kind of filtering into the world around us and finding people who don't know the Jesus that we know and tell them the story of why we know he's real, why we know he's the only Savior. The Savior's come. Nobody else is coming to save us. There's only one. His name is Jesus, and he's enough. Amen? We don't need another Savior. We've got the Savior. The question is, have we gotten the news of the Savior out to the world? And David says, I'm not going to conceal it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to speak it. Verse 11, he says, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy for me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number, and my iniquities have overtaken me, and I can't see. Did you notice it? You know what David just did? He confessed to the world that he has trouble with sin, that he's tempted. But he's taking it to the right place. He's saying, God, like Shannon told us, God, help me. And David pours it out to the Lord. He says, evils have encompassed me beyond number. And then he talks about his own heart. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. Again, David? Yeah, again. He would always come running back to God. There was nothing perfect about David, except he was another one of those guys. It was a man after God's own heart. Do you remember? Probably one of your favorite psalms. One thing I have desired of the Lord. What's it say after that? That will I what? Seek after. It's not enough to desire. You got to seek what you desire. And he says, one thing I desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after. Oh, I want to live in your house. I want to live with you, Lord. I want to live in your house all the days of my life. And David did really well when he sought the Lord. But there was one night when he couldn't sleep and he should have been out in the battle, and he walked outside and went up to the top level of his palace. And he went over to the edge of the palace, and that night he stopped desiring the beauty of the Lord. He desired the beauty of a woman that wasn't his wife, and it brought destruction. But he reset himself to desiring the Lord after that, and he got his life back together by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and so can you. You might feel like you have just chewed up your life so bad. Give it to Jesus. Hand it over to him. Cry out like David did, oh Lord, help me. He says of his iniquities, they're more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails. Be pleased, oh Lord, to deliver me. Oh Lord, make haste to come and help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. David, in so many of his psalms, like I said this last weekend, in so many of his beautiful psalms, and this is a beautiful one, he would stop and say, oh, God, but there's these other people, and would you go take care of them? Sometimes you say, would you kill them or just dispatch them, get them out of my life? But it's the reality we all live with. Enemies within and enemies without, and challenges every day. Now the last part here, verse 16 to 17, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. I wonder who they ought to say that to. People who don't know it. And certainly to one another. How many of you have ever run across a fellow Christian who's discouraged? Lose a half a calorie every time you raise your hand. It's Christian calisthenics. I'm trying to help you here. If you haven't run into a Christian who's discouraged, you haven't been in fellowship enough. Say to them, God is still great. Joy loves to say this. My beautiful bride was over there. She's over there. She loves to say this. We have a sign on our front lawn that says, God's got this. And I can't tell you how many times she says that to me or to you, to other people. God's got this. Why? Because great is the Lord. And then he says, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. I hope that strengthens your heart. I hope it stuns you sometimes to think, right now, God's thinking about you. I really believe that. God's got a much broader bandwidth than I do, and a much broader bandwidth than Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach has. He can hear every prayer, every moment, and you are never off of his mind. You're in his thoughts. His thoughts towards you are what? Continual. It's a steady flow. It's not like Yosemite Falls when I got up there this last month, and I was looking forward to hearing the roar of the psalm of the falls, and there wasn't even a trickle. It wasn't until I got up on the very top you could see, yeah, there's little drops of water going over the side. And I'm not exaggerating. There was nothing that was crashing below, but the torrent of God's love and his thoughts towards you, they're continual. You're always on his mind. Remind one another, God never stops thinking good thoughts towards you. His thoughts toward you are good. They're not evil. To give you that future and a hope that Jeremiah promised to the people of Israel. As for me, I was poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me, and you are my help and my deliverer. And then David closes by saying, oh Lord, please hurry up. Oh Lord, please don't delay. I want you to know tonight that just like David, King David was still just a man in need of a God of mercy, and you are too. You're a man, a woman, a young person in need of the God of mercy. And I love this thing that you see in David, that he never invited anybody into a system. Jesus didn't either. He didn't say, come to my religion. He didn't say, come to my routine or come to my system. Jesus invited us to come to a Savior, come into a relationship. I didn't come to Christianity almost 50 years ago, November 9th. I didn't come to get some religion. I didn't come to Christianity. I came to Christ. And if you've come to him, that's what you came to. Not just a system, not just a better routine, though maybe it is a better routine, a better rhythm in your life, but you came to a Savior. And he is hearing your thoughts, and he longs to hear your prayers as well, just like David. As I go back to the beginning, I'm going to ask Shannon and Jesse to come on back up. How many of you would like to see Jesse Quintana come up too and sing along with him? I know you've got it, Jesse. Amazing son-in-law, by the way. I got nothing but amazing sons-in-law and an amazing daughter-in-law. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. tonight, would you let him hear your cry? If that's kind of where your heart is set right now, and it's a cry and it's a groan, let him hear it. Lift it to him. He drew me up from the horrible pit, lifted me up, set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure, and he put a new song in my mouth. And many will see it and fear, and they'll put their trust in the Lord. He was an evangelist. David was a king. He was a shepherd. He was a general. He was a warrior. But he was an evangelist too. He said, I want to share this news with the nations. He was a king that cared about the Egyptians and the Ethiopians and the Syrians. He wanted the goodness of God, the good news of God, to spread far and wide. And so he said, you lifted me from the pit, the horrible pit that I lived in. You showed me your mercy and you gave me a new song. Now, let me answer the question. Do you know how to see a song? Here's how you see a new song. You watch the life of the singer and what they're doing every day. What I see in, I could pick out all of my kids, but Shannon's the one singing tonight. I've been watching your song, Shannon, for years, and watching the beauty of the way that you serve Jesus and the way that you encourage so many people. And I get to see the new song that God has given you over and over again because I get to watch the life of the singer. And so give the people that you're in community with. Shannon's got her little cohort here of her buddies, and they get to watch each other's new song, and God's given you a new song. And we've been talking about this all summer long. The big questions, the tough questions of life, and I guess you'd say the tough questions that you know, people come running to preachers and teachers and evangelists and Christians and say, yeah, well, what about this? And all those questions deserve the best answer that we can give. But at the core of all of it, everywhere you go, you see someone who's in one of two categories. They either love Jesus or they need to love him. They don't know him yet. And there you are. And you know what you are as you walk out of this place tonight? How many of you got someplace you got to go before you go home? Let me see the hands of some of you. You know you got to stop to make before you go home. Most things, coffee shops are closed, by the way, so you can forget about that. But how many of you got some stops tomorrow? Let me see the hands. Come on. You're going to all stay home tomorrow? So I want to challenge you to go sing your new song. Just sing your song, you know, through the day. And let people see the new song in you by the life of the singer. And encourage people to consider Jesus. Tell them there's no other Savior coming. He paid the price for you. You can be free. You can be forgiven. People are dying to know that their sins can be forgiven. I'll tell you this one really quick story, if I've got time. Yeah, I've got time. Well, I work here. I can decide when I'm done. No, I'm not going to do that. In India, in that part of the world, there's a lot of Hindu festivals, all kinds of festivals. There's this one festival called the Kumbh Mela Festival. And it's about every 11 years or maybe 12 or 13 years. It's on a certain, probably an astrological lineup of stars or planets or whatever. But what happens at the start, it's almost like somebody shoots a gun, it's not it, but when the start of the festival is announced, now when it happens, there are millions of pilgrims, Hindu pilgrims, seeking God and looking for salvation. And they believe if at the start of the festival, if they're the first ones to run as fast as they can and plunge into the waters of the Godavari River, that's one of the places, and other rivers around India, if they're the first ones to plunge in the water, their sins will be forgiven. They'll be free. You know what happens every single time the Kumbh Mela Festival starts? People are trampled to death every time. Why? Because people are dying to know that their sins can be forgiven. And so are your friends. And so are my friends, and so are the people that I run into in caffeine stores and sporting goods stores and walking down on the beach. They're dying to know that this burden can be lifted. And David said, God put a new song in my heart. He lifted me out of a pit. Tell your horrible pit story to somebody. Tell your He lifted me story to somebody. Sing your song to somebody. Tell your mercy story to somebody. You're on the team, okay? You're on the team. You might not work in this building, but you're on the team. And so let's find ourselves running into this world and encountering people and on shaky knees sometimes. Oh, God, I'm not sure I can do this. Just ask Him to set you up and be willing to speak the truth. Don't conceal it. Don't hide it. Just speak it. Let's let resonance go on and on and on and on and on. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that You would open hearts to receive Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I know there's somebody here right now, and maybe a lot of somebody's right here right now that have been carrying the burden of their shame and their sin, Lord. They found themselves trapped in a horrible pit. And God, I pray that You would hear their voice tonight, lifted up to You like our voices have been in the past, Lord, and will continue to be. You'd hear their voices saying, oh God, help me in the name of Jesus, help me. You'd hear someone tonight that would say, oh Jesus, thank You for dying for my sins on the cross. Those prayers would be lifted to You, Father, tonight, and that You would save and restore. And then let our song rise, Father, as we go back into our nation, back into our city, especially in a time like this where people are going crazy over politics and all these revolutions, Lord. May we learn to love one another like never before. God, we praise You. We love You. We love You, Lord. Say that to Him. I love You, Lord Jesus. Lift your voice up to Him and say it if you mean it. Jesus, I love You. Jesus, thank You for dying for me. Jesus, take what's left of my life and give me a song to sing for You to further Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand up together and sing.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my sing of the goodness of God. Sing, all my life You've been faithful. And all my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. I love Your voice. I love Your voice. You've led me through the fire. You led me through the fire. In darkest night, in darkest night, You were close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. And I have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Ooh. Did you guys plan on singing that earlier?
No.
You picked it. Well done. Good pick. Wasn't that a good pick? Yeah. I want you to sing one more song. It's the blessing. And you know, the way we sing the blessing here is we don't all face forward. We, as we're singing it, we turn around, look somebody in the eyes, and you sing to them, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Do you remember the last photo that I read the caption on it to you? That it was from Psalm 40, verse 1, different translation. And it was, he's heard your prayer. Your prayer got through. How many of you prayed tonight? Lord Jesus, hear my prayer. Your prayer got through. You might be in the I waited patiently category for a while, but your prayer got through, and he's going to get through, and he's going to blow you away with his faithfulness, and the gift that's going to look maybe a whole lot different than the gift you thought he'd give you. You ever get surprised by a gift? You asked for something else, and you got something better? You're going to get it. He's going to bless you beyond measure. So let's sing this. What key is it in? Lord bless you? Like D maybe? Let me hear D.
Lord bless you.
Oh, that's too low for me. That's okay. We'll sing in your key. That's okay. Lord bless you and key. Turn to somebody. Sing to them. And then turn to 10 people while we sing. You and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you. And give you peace. Sing it again. Now turn to somebody else. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give. Sing the amen. 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 Amen.
Lord bless you one last time.
Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you.
Father, have your way. Thank you for being with us on these sweet summer evenings. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So if you want to help clean up some stuff around here and help us tear down the setup, that would be great. And Lord bless you and keep you. Keep walking with him. Let the world see the new song in you. Blessings.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.